Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is episode 18 on the Merry Biz podcast with Bridget Esselmont of Biddy Tarot. Welcome to Merry Biz. Get inspired to live your best life and learn what it takes to create an epic business from the world's most amazing entrepreneurs. We're your hosts, Emma and Carla Pappas. Let's get our Merry Biz on. Today's guest is a professional tarot reader and teacher, intuitive coach, and spiritual entrepreneur. She is the founder of Biddy Tarot, a thriving business that inspires over 2 million people every year to transform their lives with the tarot. She's passionate about business and thrives on helping people build their own business empires that are aligned with their soul purpose. We're so excited to welcome Bridget Esselmont to Merry Biz.
Hello.
It's
so cool to be here. I'm so glad to be here. You guys are like so full of energy and I always love spending time with you. It makes me feel good.
Us too. Yeah, we love you. Okay, so our very first question that we ask everyone is, what's been on your agenda today?
Oh my goodness. Today has been like jam-packed talking to people. So I started my day with a mastermind call. Like I have a weekly mastermind group and we're talking about our sort of, I guess we have like more spirit-led businesses, so we were talking about those, which is great. And then I met up with a good friend who's also sort of, she works in kind of like the meditation space and, you know, in this health and wellness space, which is always fun talking to her, and then had a team meeting and then just recently just done a podcast interview for my podcast and now I'm doing one for your podcast, which is exciting.
Yay, sounds like a jam-packed day. When we first met you, we were at Tropical Think Tank and we heard about your business, Biddy Tarot, and we're like, oh my gosh, it's so, so cool that you have a business like doing tarot. So where did it all begin and how did you first discover the tarot?
Yeah, so I was about 17 years old and I was just about to head over to Germany to do a 6-month high school exchange. And I was up in Sydney with a friend and I guess we were bored. So we found a shop that offered tarot readings and I had my reading there and I said, oh, you know, what's going to happen when I go to Germany? And she's like, oh, she draws the Emperor card. She's like, oh, boyfriend. Okay, that sounds good. But then I thought maybe she tells that to everybody. But I get over there and, yeah, I find, you know, fall in love and have a, you know, great relationship. Not my husband now, but at the time it was the right relationship. And so I thought, wow, there's, you know, there's something in this and I would love to learn more about tarot. So once I got back, my mum gave me my first deck of tarot cards, which is a little bit ironic because my mum is a psychologist and thinks that all this tarot stuff is BS. So, but she was supportive. She gave me my first deck. And over those first few years, I was really just teaching myself how to read tarot. And at the same time, well, I was studying at university, I was studying commerce and I was a little bit, you know, I was getting a bit bored with just doing studying. So I started building my own website and on the website I was sharing all of the different tarot card meanings that I was learning as I was studying and putting them online so that perhaps other people could benefit from them as well.
Cool. Amazing.
Yeah, and that's like that's really how biddytarot.com was born. It looked completely different back then because this is like the late 90s and I was literally hand coding the website.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Whoa.
But I think, you know, the most important thing at that time was that it was online, and I was putting content that was helpful for other people out there. And, you know, in the last sort of 10 to 15 years, things have certainly changed and evolved with Bidhi Tarot, and also, you know, how I use tarot in my practice. And yeah, now it's a completely different space with Bidhi, than it was, you know, back when I first started.
Wow. How amazing. So obviously you transitioned from like a corporate job, corporate life into your online business. Like, how did you get through any fears or challenges through that process? Was it through intuition, or did you just have a knowing that it was going to work?
Yeah. So, I kind of skipped over that in the story, didn't I?
That's okay. We have a question.
Good. So yeah, in 2012 was when I left my corporate job, and, you know, I was working in a large financial institution, six figure salary. I had a master's degree in HR. All of these things were pointing towards a very, you know, long-term career in corporate. And at the same time, though, I was starting to think, like, man, I'm just not suited for this place. It just didn't quite feel right. And I was building Bidhi Tarot on the side, more as a hobby at that stage. But I think, yeah, I read Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek. Yes, game changer. And I saw that, oh, my goodness, this hobby that I've got could be like potential for a business. And so I started to do a little bit more in the business, and the income started to flow more, and the traffic to the site also flowed. So as I was growing like more frustrated, I suppose, with the corporate world, I started thinking, you know what, like if I can get the Bidhi Tarot income to the same level as my corporate job, then I can leave.
Amazing.
And I remember this happening the first month. It hit that mark, and I thought, oh, okay, awesome. All right. But then I thought, oh, it might just be a fluke. So all that fear stuff that you were speaking about, that started to come through, and I thought, oh, you know, it might not, maybe this isn't real. And then the second month I hit the same amount. I'm like, oh, okay. And then by the third month I was like, man, if this isn't like a sign from the universe, I don't know what it is. And I'd been doing tarot readings as well around that time, like for myself, and I started to just get more subtle indications that the timing was right. But the biggest fear that I had was that, you know, I've invested all this time and energy into a corporate career, but, you know, like who's crazy enough to turn their back on a big HR career and go and be a tarot reader? And would people think I was like berserk for doing such a thing? So I think a lot of that did come up initially, but I figured I just had to go with it because my gut was telling me that this was the right path. And I knew I was so like frustrated with corporate land that I couldn't really continue to operate in that space anymore.
Wow. I love that. So with that gut feeling, I mean, when I first heard about it, I was like, what are these people banging on about? Like, what do you mean gut feeling? Like, but now I get it. I know that, you know, you have signs and you have those feelings that you're supposed to do something. Is there somehow that you've like increased your intuition, or that you like practice something to like get more in tune with it?
Yeah, I reckon there's a number of different layers. I think obviously one is using the tarot cards, because, you know, just sitting down with your tarot cards and creating the time and space to go, right, what is going on in there, intuition, you know, what messages have you got for me? That's just opening up the space to, you know, make time for it. So I think tarot is obviously very important. But look, it doesn't have to be tarot. It could be any kind of tool, whether it's even just journaling or meditation or even just going for a walk or doing exercise. It's really setting that space so that you can go, right, I'm ready to listen and I'm ready to tune into my inner voice and so on.
I love that so much. So do you make any like really, really big decisions and big business decisions simply based on your tarot card reading?
I don't, in the sense that I wouldn't like just draw a card and go, right, well, that card said I should do this, so therefore I will. You know, But what I do is I really do integrate tarot into my business planning. So a few months ago, I went on my own business retreat, like for 3 days, just by myself with my tarot cards. And what I like to do first is go intuitively into the space of, okay, well, what's right for me now? What do I need? What's, you know, my highest good and so on. And so I'm not even using the tarot to start with. I really like to try and get in the space where I'm trusting my intuition first. And then if there are gaps in how I'm connecting intuitively, I will then use my tarot cards to add a little bit more information or perhaps just give me a gentle nudge in a particular direction. And I think in that way it's less dependent on, you know, well, the tarot will tell me, you know, what I should do, and more coming into this place where, well, I can really trust my own inner voice and so on. So, yeah, in summary, you know, I certainly do use tarot in business planning, and I think that's what has made my business more soulful. But I wouldn't use it as the only thing, because I think it's so important for business, for example, that you do apply a number of different lenses to making good business decisions.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that soul purpose thing?
Yeah, man. How do you put this stuff into So I think, you know, like I just remember it back in corporate where I would have just that nagging feeling of like I'd turn up to work, I'd look around me and I'd just think, you guys are like on a different planet. Like,
yes.
Full respect, but
yes,
we're totally in a different place. And, you know, I think like you have a choice at that point to go, you know, like one part of you could go, no, you know what? This is my job. This is my career. This is what I'm meant to do, or, you know, what I've been told to do. And therefore I'll just, you know, suck it up and get on with it. Mm-hmm. Or you can go, well, actually, that's an interesting feeling that I've got. And, you know, how deep do I feel it? Do I feel it like really in my body? Do I feel it in my bones? Is there something that's calling me to something else? And I think that's when we start to realign ourselves with soul purpose. When we truly listen to what we're feeling versus trying to like layer over it and say, oh, no, push that stuff down. I've just got to get on with it. I've got to just do what I'm meant to do, and so on.
Wow.
I love that.
Me too.
Explanation.
I loved your example of the people on a different planet.
Yeah, we felt like that when we
feel ya.
Yes. Yeah.
So funny it's thinking like, back. So we know you do have a thriving online business.
Yeah, we'd love for you to like give us the down low of like how you manage your income streams, like how do you make your money if you want to go into that.
And how do people actually use your services?
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. So look, a few years ago, Bitty Tarot was more about me just giving tarot readings. So it was more of a service-based business. But my family and I, we like to travel.
Yes, we know.
And so, you know, we've had a few months in Spain every year, which has been great. So
amazing.
I knew that like I had to move from being service-based into product-based because I didn't want like my business to be dependent on me being in a certain place at a certain time. So like these days, like our main revenue streams are through our online courses. So we're obviously teaching tarot and they're all set up now. Like I've done them as live courses, but now they're home study. So people can opt in and start the courses at any time.
Amazing.
Yes. and also our digital products like ebooks, and we've got a meditations program. They're also a really steady source of income. As well. And I think that has a lot to do with, one, we've got great traffic coming into Bitty Tarot, but two, we've got some nice email sequences. So when someone joins our email list, they're getting emails obviously with great content, but also with, you know, resources that may help them in their tarot journey. So that's been really helpful. And then another piece is, more advertising on the site, again, just leveraging all of the traffic.
Oh, cool.
And then our new thing that we're coming in just a few months is a community. So having a Bitty Tarot community, which, I think will be kind of like the energy core of Bitty Tarot. That's what I'm hoping
for. Yeah.
Oh, that is so exciting. I'm so excited for you and to like watch it all launch and things like that. We've watched your podcast launch as well, and we love that. So everybody, if you're interested in tarot, definitely tune into that because it's really interesting. So you talked about some of the businessy stuff that you do, like with the automation and the emails and things like that. What kind of tools do you use?
Yeah, so I use Entreport, which I love. And we go, well, yeah, my business manager and I, we get a bit crazy with all of the different automations in there. I think, you know, if you can automate a way to connect with your community in a consistent and regular way, like, I think that's just awesome. That gets me really excited.
Yeah.
Because it means that you can reach out to like more people and create like more personal relationships. But do it in a way that's automated, so you're not, you know, on your computer like all the time, which is good.
Totally.
But yeah, Entreport. What other tools? Well, we use Trello for managing the team.
Yeah, we love Trello.
Yep. And goodness me, oh, you know, all sorts of like wish list, you know, like wish list member and those kinds of things. And I, you know, I've got to mention tools. Well, of course, the tarot cards and
yeah, exactly.
All that good stuff. Yeah.
Totally. So can anyone read tarot?
Oh, I think so, yes. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people think, like, with tarot that you need to be, say, fifth generation psychic.
Oh.
You know, you've got to, like, read someone's mind in order to be any good at it. But I think, like, the tarot cards are just – they're images on a card that just help you connect with your intuition. And so as long as you're open and ready to say yes to your intuition, then – by all means, you know, the tarot is an excellent way of getting to that.
Oh, we're so interested. And we'd love you if maybe you could do a tarot reading for us, like right now.
Yes. What would you like me to read on? Have you got a question in mind?
Oh, didn't think about this. Well, can we do it for both of us?
So it like, could be like
for business?
Business, yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a new, I guess, product that we're in the middle of creating. Should we ask it about that, like whether it's the right decision?
Yeah.
Or like whether it's going to, I don't know, be amazing.
Okay, hang on a sec. I'll shuffle the cards and I'll think about this new product that's coming up.
I'm sending
and if it's going to be amazing. Not that that's a weighted question or anything.
I didn't know what else to ask. I was like, do I have to ask anything?
Should have pre-planned that.
I can hear the cards.
Me too.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about the product?
Yes. Yeah. So basically we've had like a 4-week challenge that we've run twice and it has like meal plans and a community, and the feedback we've been getting from the challenges, I guess, is that they want something more consistent. So we're actually in the middle of launching our community called Merrymaker Club. So yeah, that's the idea, is that they'll get like a weekly meal plan every month. They'll have that online community where they can connect, and we'll have monthly mentors with webinars and things like that, and accountability check-ins to make sure, you know, we're all staying on track of our healthy plans.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, cool. Okay, that gives me a bit more context for the cards I've drawn. So I've got Six of Cups reversed. Now, I'm using the Radiant Rider-Waite deck, and in this card, what we can see is like two kids, and one is giving like a beautiful cup with the flower in it to the other kid. Very nice card. And the thing that came to mind was this idea of giving out things and how much you share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I typically see like reversed cards as kind of like a private sense. So this, to me, it was calling out as like a private sharing. And I think the community will go well if you almost contain the giving and sharing within that community.
Okay.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. So,
you know, and I mean, we heard James Schramko talking last year, and I think one of his big points was, like, for example, you can't have a big Facebook group that's open to everybody and have a private community at the same time.
Totally.
You can only, like, to create the value, you only want to be giving within that context of the community. So that's what I'm seeing in the Six of Cups reversed.
Oh, wow.
contain that giving.
Okay.
Which is hard for you guys because I know you guys are very open and sharing.
Yeah, but it makes sense.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah, no, it does make
sense. And we have spoken about this like last week.
Like closing out other groups and making sure we just have the one so we can focus on that.
Like we literally talked about it last week.
Good. Wow. Yeah. Actually, do you know what? I did draw another card. I want to touch on that too, that just came after it, which was the Seven of Cups reversed.
Oh, and consecutive.
Yes. The thing here is to maybe also limit the amount of choices you have. So it might be limiting the amount of offers you have within the community. Mm-hmm. So that, like the number of different features or possibly like the number of different membership levels. I don't know if you're going to go down that space.
Yeah. Oh, this is too weird. Like we had this conversation as well. We were going to do like a monthly payments, but then we're like, oh, maybe we'll just do like a yearly payment and then, or maybe we'll do like a 6 month thing, or maybe we'll do this. So, okay, limit that. Makes sense.
Yeah. And just get clear in your own minds about, right, what are the options and let's lay them out like really clearly. So there you go.
Wow. Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks so much.
Oh, that's so cool. So, like, let's get back to you.
It's all about you, Bridget.
So what do you think has been, you know, your biggest challenge in your entire journey in creating Bitty Tarot?
My goodness. Do you know, like, I've been asked this before and I really struggle to think of challenges because I, like, there've been some moments that are challenging and hard. But I've always seen them in the context of like this just being part of the journey. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, totally.
There are those moments where you're like, holy moly, what's happening? Why is this happening? This is full on. But then you see it and go, ah, this is happening so that this next thing can happen. And, you know, you just trust the process, really.
Yeah, love it.
It's like those blessings in disguises. Like at the moment it might feel like absolute horrible, like everything is falling down, but then
a week later it all makes sense.
That's why it happened.
Yes. And then so then like in my mind they don't really register as challenges or obstacles because they were inherent in me getting to the next level, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense. So what would you say is like your biggest achievement or like the craziest, most amazing thing that has happened through your business journey?
Oh, I just think of like where we're at now compared to even like, you know, back in 2012 when I first like I quit my corporate job, you know, like we've almost got like 3 million visitors now. I know that. Intro, you said 2 million, but I can probably.
We should update that. We update that.
I'll edit that. Make it 3 million.
That's the size of, you know, some countries. It blows my mind. And, you know, some of our, like, our financial numbers are just, like, out of this world. And, the amount of people that we're reaching through our online courses, I think we're close to about 1,000 students that, like,
oh my God,
tarot. It just, you know, I can see it on paper and I'm like, okay, yeah, those are the numbers. But my mind still just goes, holy moly, how this is amazing. Like, how does this happen? Or, you know, is this really happening?
Wow. So cool.
Yeah.
So awesome.
I'm just like, this is so, I'm loving this interview.
I know. And I love it because you know what? Like, it's not like you think of online business and I wouldn't think tarot cards. And I just think there's so much opportunity to bring your passion, your joys into that online business field. Like, and I think this is like a perfect example.
Me too. I love it. So Bridget, do you have like a big influencer in your life, or was there one growing up that just really influenced you to, you know, go and do your own thing and like create things and cool stuff?
I don't know. I don't think I have like one specific person. I often find that just through my conversations with different people, I will take like, you know, I'll get sort of a seed of inspiration from someone from like one conversation or just even one sentence that they said, and then that, you know, spurs me off into a whole new different direction. I do think like that Tim Ferriss book is, you know, it was really big for me because it just really changed my thinking away from that, you know, being stuck in a traditional life and a traditional model to really seeing things in quite a different way. But yeah, these days, like I read so many different books and listen to podcasts, and it's just I'm getting inspiration from all sorts of sources.
Totally. Yeah, I think that's such great advice as well, to look everywhere for
not to just like focus on one person for inspo.
With your tarot readings, like you must have done so many in your life, have you ever experienced one that's just kind of blown your mind?
Oh, I remember actually when I was in Spain, we knew a couple of English expats, and they pulled together like a little group of people. We had like a tarot party. And so, so I sat in this little room in this Spanish house somewhere. And, you know, each person came in one by one. Anyway, there was this lady, she was probably about 60. She was gorgeous. She was all dolled up and like lovely. And, she just sat down. She said, just tell me what's coming up. I'm like, okay. And I draw the Knight of Wands. Now, the Knight of Wands can often be linked with quite strong, let's say, passion or sexual energy. And I was like, this is interesting. I have this, you know, 6-year-old lady here. And I was like, oh, are you like dating someone that's a little bit younger than you? And like, is it, you know, going pretty well? And she's like, oh my goodness, how do you know? And she's like, I haven't told anybody, but
oh my god,
she was dating like I think he was like 30 years old. And you know, they were having this really raunchy relationship.
That is the best. Yeah. Oh my god,
it was so much fun.
Amazing. That is pretty crazy. Yeah. This has been so amazing chatting with you, Bridget, like getting to know your business better and also hearing about tarot. What do you reckon, like if someone wanted to start tarot, what would be their first step? I mean, would it just be go out and buy a deck and start?
Yeah, look, well, buying a deck helps because, I mean,
kind of need it.
But once you've got your tarot cards, look, I think the most important thing is just to almost like play with the tarot. So some really simple things when you get a new tarot deck is just simply go through card by card and have a look at the different images and get to know those cards. And the second thing that you can do is just start pulling a card every day. So the daily card draw, surely there must be a much better name than that. You guys can come up with something, I'm sure. But, you know, just drawing a card in the morning and asking the tarot, okay, like what do I most need to focus on today to make it awesome? And you draw a card for the day. And if you're just learning, like, you know, gaze at that card, see what comes up for you. If you need to, go and look in a book. But then live out that day and come to the end of the day and reflect back, okay, that card I drew, like what were some of the experiences I had during the day that relate back to the card? And as you do this like day by day, week by week, month by month, you actually start to build up like a personal library of experiences related to each card. And I find that that kind of connection with the tarot is so much more powerful than, say, memorizing what every card means.
Yeah.
I think the important thing is that you're having fun with it and you're integrating it into just your everyday life. It doesn't have to be that you're sitting down to do like the 20 card spread that, you know, it tells you like your whole soul purpose and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, have fun with it.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I'm going to go buy some, I think. So we're almost out of time and we do have one last question for you. But before we get into that, we'd love you to tell everybody where they can find more info about you and Biddy Tarot.
Yep, head on over to biddytarot.com and you'll find me over there, plus all of our content on tarot and how to get started. And if you are interested in like learning tarot, like, you know, really easy, simple way, then sign up for the 5 simple steps to read tarot with confidence.
Yeah.
So I share a few cool tips via email in that series.
Awesome. So our very last question is, what is the one mantra you're living by right at this moment?
Yeah, I did mention it earlier and it's actually like trust the process. I've experienced this quite a few times, you know, in the last wee while where things haven't happened the way that I thought they would and I would start getting impatient going, come on, I want this to work this way and now it's going the other way. But then the thing that just keeps calling out to me is just trust the process, just go with the flow. What is that? It's let go and let God. You know, just allow things to develop and evolve in the way that they need to. All the while, you know, connecting in with your intuition and really feeling into it. So, yeah, trust the process. It's a big one. I'm still learning in that space, but I keep reminding myself that's what I need to do.
Oh, we absolutely love that. And we want to thank you again, Bridget, for spending this time with us. It's been so amazing getting inspired by you, and we're so grateful.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome is Bridget. Yeah, she's pretty darn awesome. It's making me want to go and learn tarot cards. Yes, I think we should go and buy a deck. I think that will be fun. Anyway, next week on the show, we have the one and only Marc Cisson talking to us. Yep, we talk all about Primal and all about his epic business, from going to digital products to a publishing house to now food products and also a restaurant franchise. Talk about empire. Anyway, you're going to love that episode, so definitely tune in. And while you're at it, while you're on iTunes, be sure to leave us a 5-star review, because we love them and we love you and you love us. Yay, love.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.